There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston restaurants and bars. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Today on the show, we'll talk about some news in the world of Houston restaurants, as well as our meals at a couple of restaurants you may want to visit. To do that, I am joined by my co-host this week. She's the owner of Heights Grocer. Mary Clarkson, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hello, I am well. Happy to be here today.
All right, quick note before I get into the news of the week, when I was talking about Agnes and Sherman last week with Rafi Nasser, I mentioned a cold noodle dish and I said that they are cold sesame noodles. I meant that they are in the style of cold sesame noodles. They do not have any sesame.
And how
I got
dare
a very
you.
Polite, I know, I got a very polite email from the folks at Agnes and Sherman asking for a correction. So don't go to Agnes and Sherman and tell them that I said they have sesame noodles. They do not have sesame noodles. So
do it.
There you go. Maybe someday. I think sesame noodles are delicious. I think they'd be a great addition to the menu, but they do not have them now. So do not go there and tell them that I said that they have them, because they do not.
I would like a side note about that dish. I had it on Friday. They launched lunch with added tofu that was seasoned nicely. It was delicious.
All right. Mary, let's get into the news of the week. Topic number one, the Michelin Guide has announced that they will reveal their second Texas edition on October 28th. We've been kind of living in a Michelin world for about a year now. You know, there were 30 Houston restaurants to make the first edition of the guide, including six restaurants that got one star each. So as we sort of contemplate Michelin 2025, let me just ask you, now that we've been kind of living with this for almost a year, has the guide been good for Houston, do you think?
I think it's been great for Houston. I think anything that draws national press and awareness to what's going on to our food scene is fantastic. So yeah, I think it's been a great thing and will continue to be a great thing for Houston. And I'm really excited about what Michelin has in the coming years, not just this year.
Right. So to clarify, we're in the second year of a three-year deal that the tourist boards in Houston, Austin, Dallas, San Antonio, and Fort Worth kind of signed with the guide, along with Texas Travel, the statewide tourism board. So we're in the middle of this, and I agree with you. I mean, I think the first year was, by any measure, a huge success. The restaurants that were named in the guide benefited from that recognition. They got busier. You know, I remember, it wasn't that long ago, you know, a year ago, you could kind of look on the March website and see available tables, you know, with a couple of days planning. And ever since they got in the guide, that's a lot harder to book, right? Getting that one star really, you know, in the Goodfellas kind of sense, made them like establish their reputation as a quality fine dining destination and really changed the fortunes of that restaurant. And I like that it kind of gives even the restaurants that aren't in the guide like something to sort of aspire to, right? When places open, you hear them sort of talking about, you know, we'd like to be recommended, we'd like to be a bib, we'd like to get a star. And even if they don't necessarily reach that goal, or at least not in the first year, I like the ambition of it. I like that now there's some international standard for them to strive for. I think that's good for the city.
I like seeing chefs that say they didn't care about the guide, obviously seemingly very much care about the guide since round one, and just seeing what's going on in a lot of these kitchens in anticipation of this coming year's announcements. It's kind of fun to see.
Right. So let's go out on a limb just a little bit. What are one or two restaurants you would like to see added to the guide this year?
Added to the guide or increased?
Well, I want to start with added and then we'll do increased.
Well, you know, I'm an OG Montrose girly, but owning a business in the Heights, I am also a Heights girly as well now too, I guess. I have really been enjoying, I've been going a lot to both of these places. I like them for different experiences, but still, I think it represents what's going on in the Heights, which there has been a lot of openings that have been excited. So Agnes and Sherman and Camaraderie, I think I would like to see both in the running for something. I don't necessarily know which one accolade, but you know, even a gourmand or a recommended is still a really big deal and I think would be appropriate for either of these.
You know, I worry that they're both a little too new to kind of get in. We'll see. Obviously, you know, Basso and Emma, now Casa Emma, both made the guide despite being relatively new.
Sure.
You know, the one in the Heights that comes to my mind is Squabble, because I do feel like it's kind of in conversation with Theodore Rex and Nancy Sussel and Nobies, all of which are Bib Gourmand. And I just think what they're doing there is pretty consistent and very delicious. And so I would like to see maybe Squabble sneak into that Bib Gourmand list. I think the big one for me is, and we talked about this last year when the guide came out, is that they didn't get into Chinatown very deeply in any meaningful way. So I'd like to see a little more recognition. And the obvious one that comes to mind is Fung's Kitchen. It just seems so ripe for a Bib Gourmand. I've been there a couple of times.
Delicious.
This year. It is so good. I mean, just everything about it. The Lobster Mountain, the Peking Duck. I mean, everything we've had there has been so good, and it's such an institution.
If you can't go to Disneyland, you might as well go to Lobster Mountain.
So those are a couple of places that come to mind for me. And of course they really dissed our seafood restaurants. And I wouldn't mind seeing either Navy Blue or Little's Oyster Bar somewhere in the mix. Feels like a recommended. And of
Little's
course,
wine list is so damn good. I mean, it's a really,
so
it really, it, the food is of course the food, but the wine list helps really elevate it for me there.
Yeah.
One of the best champagne lists.
And then, of course, justice for Hori-san. Some sort of recognition for Katami.
Yes, or Kata, honestly.
I mean, you know, Kata as a recommended or a bib, Katami, you know, they don't seem like they want to give stars to big Japanese restaurants. They really only want to give them to omakase counters. So
I don't think it's big. They have two concepts. It's so good.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. But yeah, some sort of love for Hori-san, certainly the best Japanese chef in Houston, and would be good to see him get a little love. All right. Of the existing restaurants in the guide, you want to take a shot at who you would like to see promoted?
Well, let's see. I think if anybody's going to go from a 1 to a 2, for me, I'm going to go with BCN. They have been knocking it out of the park since they got their Michelin. The service is hitting on all standards. The food has never been better. And I've always loved this restaurant. I would be curious if Houston gets to a 2. So that would be my favorite for that. I would love to see Theodore Rex be elevated to a 1. I know Justin has been vigorously working on a new menu that debuts in September. And I'm excited to try that. I love that staff. And I think it being a small restaurant of, you know, 26 plus or minus seats is intimate. And one of the things that Michelin will be excited to see. What else? I think Basso could be elevated. I think they've really come a long way since they've opened. Their food is still excellent and getting only better. I think those are my first ones.
Yeah, I think Basso from recommended to a star would be a huge step up for them. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I would like to see it happen. I think that the menu has gotten more refined in the last year. They have a better sense of kind of who and what they are. And they're doing that. It's not really a tasting menu, but they're doing kind of a guided, like you can just kind of pay and they'll feed you. And I think obviously it comes with service and the wine list has gotten more refined. And so I think that would be an interesting moment. You think BCN's got a shot at being elevated? I come back to March. I mean, I really think that is the most complete dining experience in Houston in terms of the service and the atmosphere and the presentation. And I thought the Grease menu was excellent. The buzz on the new Levant menu that just came out is very strong. And so I think if any Houston restaurant is going to make that step and be among the first 2-star restaurants in Texas, because I have this feeling that one of the places in Austin is probably also going to get promoted, that it would be March.
What are you thinking Austin-wise, if we're just going to throw that casually in the convo?
Well, I'd have to study the Austin restaurants a little more. Obviously, the Emmer and Rye Group did very well overall. And so Hestia as kind of the symbol of modern Texas live fire cuisine would seem to me to be the obvious choice. But then, I mean, you just never know. I mean, there's an omakase counter, I think, in Austin that got a star. So that could go to 2 stars, and that would be sort of fitting. We'll see. It's always very tough to predict what they're going to do. But I do think one of the ways that they can get some traction on the second year announcement is to pick one or two restaurants in Texas to be the first in the state with 2 stars. So I do think that's likely to happen. And then, you know, I'm not trying to be negative necessarily.
Uh-oh.
But I would say if you look at Le Jardinet, it has lost its star, both the New York location and the Miami location. So while I continue to think that the Houston restaurant is very excellent, and I've had dinner there within the last couple of months that I really enjoyed, if the pattern holds, then they could be the restaurant that loses a star, which would be disappointing because of how nice that place is and how hard they work and everything that they do. But it just seems worth noting that neither the New York nor the Miami location still hold their stars. So that makes me nervous for the Houston location.
I think that's a very fair point.
All right, let's move on to topic number 2, Culinary Concepts, the restaurant group behind Liberty Kitchen, State Fair, the River Oaks Theater, and Leo's River Oaks, is bringing their concept, the Audrey, which I am describing as a retro and movie-inspired restaurant that has a current location in the Woodlands. It will open next year in the Aspire Post Oak, a 40-story luxury high-rise. The restaurant is known for dishes such as their truffle mushroom ravioli and beef Wellington. Mary, I haven't been to the Audrey, so I'm going to say it's a pretty long shot that you have been to the Audrey.
I did look at their menu, sir. No, I have not been. It is in the Woodlands. You know, I think you and I live in a little tiny bubble sometimes, and it's not a bad bubble. But it's a bubble, and I am cognizant of that. And I think this restaurant will do probably very well. It's well located in the Galleria. That's a big international area for people staying in the Galleria for conferences. A lot of businesses that have, you know, high-rise office towers in this area. Lots of hotels nearby. Good proximity to, you know, lots of different neighborhoods, River Oaks, Tanglewood, Memorial. So I think this will do really well. I know better than for me to try to outguess what is popular in this type of area. I think you have to look to a more broad base, and the menu looks good. I mean, they've got duck bao, they've got Dover sole, they've got New York strip, they've got pasta, lobster rolls. I mean, there's a lot on here to appeal to a lot of different people. So,
no, I think that's right. And I think that's well said. And I think if you look at Leo's River Oaks, which I have been to a few times and liked quite a bit, that kind of speaks well for these more ambitious concepts from Culinary Concepts. And I think when you're introducing a new restaurant to that post-Oak environment, like you said, it's a tourist destination, it's a business lunch destination, a business dinner destination, and you're trying to stand out, a good gimmick will serve you well. And I think taking some inspiration from Audrey Hepburn, taking some inspiration from the Art Deco period, you know, having a really posh interior with a bunch of chandeliers and floral prints and everything else, paired with good food and good service, could be a winning formula. And so I'm certainly intrigued by this, and I will be very curious to see what the execution is like. But it does seem like the right kind of restaurant to catch on in that kind of extended Galleria area.
Yeah, I think they picked a very smart location.
Absolutely. All right, Mary, I'm going to say that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our restaurants of the week. Stick around. Mary, for our restaurants of the week, I want to talk to you about a couple of established restaurants that we have revisited recently. Let's start with Flora Mexican Kitchen. This is the Mexican restaurant on Allen Parkway from the Big Vibe Group that is also behind Copa Osteria in Rice Village. We were there at their invitation. We got to meet Chef Mate Zarilla, who comes to Houston from Mexico City. And Mary, I'm going to say we had a pretty good dinner at Flora Mexican Kitchen. What do you remember from that meal?
You and I were both really surprised. It had been a while. I had been there in the past year for a private event. A girlfriend of mine's an attorney and hosts a private party every year after her law firm's kind of big to do. And so I don't think that's a normal experience. Of course, that was great because no expense was spared. So it was nice to have a real preview of their menu in the main dining room on a normal night. It was pretty bustling. And I thought the dishes were really good. I really enjoyed meeting the chefs and hearing their stories and how passionate they were and how well the food and authentically the food was executed. I liked some of the lighter dishes. All of the seafood dishes to me were really delicious. Their fish was incredible. But, you know, I also liked their classics, whether it was their tostadas that they were doing. The yellowfin tuna was really delicious. Kind of made me think a little bit of Contramar. I miss Mexico City really badly right now for whatever reason. It's been a long time since I've been. And I thought that pescado that they did, the a la tala, that whole fish served with house-made tortillas there, their tortilla program was delicious, really beautifully made. Refried black beans, pickled onions, but that was just really delicious. And all of their different tacos that they presented us were really well done. And drinks were really good. Of course, I had to try a margarita and a mezcal margarita. They were delicious. I think this restaurant is hitting its stride and it's in a really good location and accessible, plenty of parking, whether it's valet or self. And I really liked it. I was surprised. I think this town is so inundated with Mexican and Tex-Mex and, you know, Mexico City style food. And it hit above in every category.
No, I mean, I agree with you. And I think when we think about kind of, you know, an elevated take on traditional Mexican cooking, that you and I kind of default to, you know, one of Hugo Ortega's restaurants or maybe Cuchara. And there's something slightly incongruous about that location on Allen Parkway with the chandeliers and how sort of posh and luxurious it is, with the notion that you can get like a properly made nixtamalized corn tortilla, like made from corn that they're grinding in house, and that they're making the nixtamal on property and all that stuff. but that's what they're doing. And it was very delicious. And I don't mind the nods to Contramar. I mean, it's, you know, one of the great, certainly one of the great restaurants in Mexico City, certainly a place that a lot of Houstonians have been to and enjoyed. And so, yeah, plate the tuna tostada in the style of Contramar, do the pescado in the style of Contramar. Like there are worse places to steal an influence from. And, you know, to have the barbacoa and the carnitas that we did, even the fajitas. I mean, you know, I think it's impressive that they can kind of hop back and forth between, you know, just a little bit of Tex-Mex, but like really leaning into those traditional Mexican flavors and those traditional preparations and, you know, hold their own with any of the traditional Mexican restaurants that you want to name in this town. I was very impressed.
Yeah, I think this is a spot that maybe people don't know about or haven't been to in a while. And if they haven't, they should revisit.
Absolutely. All right. And then let's talk for a few minutes about MAD. Again, you and I had the opportunity to dine with Chef Luis Roger and the general manager, Jerry Agalis. So this was not like a traditional, or this was, there was nothing ordinary about our meal at MAD, right? We were their guests. We were in conversation with them throughout the evening, but you know, they invited us to come because they've made some changes at MAD. And if you haven't been to MAD since it opened, you may not be aware that they've lightened up the dining room a little bit, that the DJ is gone, that they've made the prices a little more affordable, that they're really trying to lean into being a restaurant that's obviously not as formal as BCN, you know, certainly a little more lively in its atmosphere, but with food at the same quality, if not the same formality. So, you know, again, I thought, you know, MAD was a place that I hadn't been to in a while. I wasn't really sure, like, not that I'd ever had a negative experience there, but I wasn't really sure what to expect. And then was very impressed by just everything we ate that night.
I was excited to go there for a lot of reasons. One of them being my first experiences with MAD when it first opened was, it was a party, right? And that's not a bad thing, but I think restaurants have to evolve over time, right? You have to listen to your clients, your customers, and know and understand maybe what works then needs to change over time. Obviously, it opened before COVID, and we're in a different environment now. River Oaks District is significantly more built out than it was when MAD first opened. And BCN is sitting on one Michelin star now. So it allows them the freedom to kind of come back and see other things that they want to improve on. And I think they've really done an excellent job here. It feels lighter and brighter in there. They've removed kind of the heavy drapes that sit at the front entrance of the restaurant and along the side. It's not as loud in there. You know, it's a restaurant where you can actually sit and dine for an hour or two and hear each other really, really well. I think that's important in restaurants. Not everybody wants a really loud restaurant, especially with vibe dining that's been going on in Houston. And the food was the best it has ever been, objectively. I lived in Spain when I was younger. The paella transported me to Spain. Like, I literally could feel like I'm sitting in Granada having paella, and it was as authentic as you would have in Spain, and I really appreciated that. Cocktails were really great. A lot of the smaller dishes, too, were delicious and really well-priced. I mean, their apps are starting at $12, $13, $14. I think that's a really nice price point in today's environment. And of course, you know, they had a dish that I'm going to let you talk about, which is one of my favorites. And I know it was yours that night. And that was also an excellent Spanish dish as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the cochinillo iberico, the suckling pig, obviously is a standout at BCN. And of course, it is also a standout at MAD. And I like that they're being a little bit playful with it, right? They're giving you the lettuce wraps and the mango and apricot chutney and the peppers and the cilantro. And so it's not like, it's not dissimilar to making a similar kind of lettuce taco, you know, at a Vietnamese restaurant, you know, and I like that they're kind of in conversation with those kind of Houston influences. You know, you mentioned the paella, they're cooking it over wood, so it gets a little bit of smoke.
Crispy on the bottom too.
Yeah, crispy on the bottom as it's supposed to be. You know, the one that they're really proud of is the one that they served us is the chicken with peppers. And I get made fun of every week on this podcast, every time I talk about getting a chicken dish, but when it's smoky, when it's juicy, when the skin is crispy, like it was, that's a great chicken dish. And it's a very hearty portion that you could kind of build a meal around for under $40. And at a time
it
when
it serves two people like very
100%. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Two people could have one order of paella with some starters and, you know, maybe a dessert or something, and have a very satisfying meal at Matt and get in that, you know, depending on how much you drink and everything, but like get into that 100 or 125 dinner for two instead of that $200 or $250 dinner for two that it's so easy to do at a lot of nice restaurants nowadays, and still get that quality and that service experience that you want from the people who own BCN. And so, you know, that was a great experience. And I, you know, is the Mad Cheeseburger like the best cheeseburger I've ever had? Like, I mean, maybe not, but I like that they're being playful. I liked the way it was cooked. It was cooked nicely. It tasted good. I don't think I'd go to Mad and get a cheeseburger, but I like that they have it. I like that they're willing to show a little bit of a sense of humor and just have something on the menu that's very approachable for anyone who walks in the door.
I like that they're hitting these price points that are more casual. One of the consistent themes of this show, of this podcast, is that you and I often talk about how expensive dining has gotten in Houston. So I think this offers somebody the opportunity to go out and have a fun date night, or go out with your coworkers and do something fun, or friends or family, and not have to spend a bunch of money, but feel like you got a really elevated dining experience. I think that's so rare these days. And I really liked it. You and I can always feel the energy in a room. Like, is this kitchen and staff stressed out to the gills? You know, are they relaxed? Are we having a good time? And you can feel that being translated here. They also hired, I know we didn't drink a ton of wine that night, but we definitely both had some wine. They hired the former sommelier of Le Jardinier, Andres, and I think it's a really important thing for them that they're going to be building around, like having a fun wine program that's dynamic and not stuffy and pretentious. Like, Houston needs more of that.
Yeah, I mean, Andres Blanco started at Caracol, spent a few years at Le Jardinier, now part of the Mad team. Certainly one of the most knowledgeable and personable sommeliers in the city, a guy who is probably on his way to becoming a master somm at some point.
100%.
And so, yes, having him in the dining room is a good thing. Like, you know, hiring talented people and letting them do what they do is a good thing. And that has been a consistent theme of what Luis Roger and the owner of both Mad and BCN, Ignacio Torres, that's been a real hallmark of everything that they've ever done in this town. And so bringing Andres on board was a great decision. And I wasn't surprised at all to see him there. It makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. Giving people the tools to succeed and kind of giving them the freedom to create is something this group is doing right now in all their concepts. And I wish more operators would do that. Hire talented people and set them free, because that's how the best of everything happens, in my opinion. So yeah, I think they're creating a really beautiful fresh air wind into the space, and it really translates.
And then let's do one more.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about the dinner that we had last week at Riel. As we've discussed on the show, Riel is closing at the end of the month. And I got a few of my podcast friends together, including our producer, Michael Carroll, who we don't hear in the audio very often, but this was his first time going to Riel, and Michael, you've had to hear me talk about this restaurant quite a bit.
So many times.
Over the many years of the podcast, you've had to listen to Lance Zierlein talk about it quite a bit on ESPN 97.5. So, Michael Carroll, what did you think of your first and most likely last meal at Riel?
Sadly, most likely last, but I thought, yeah, that was amazing. That was really, really good. You know, I had always heard about the Butterburgers, and then we got the Butterburgers, and now I can't stop thinking of the Butterburgers. I want one right now. Like, it's just, it's so good.
I mean, you know, it's a slider, but it's like the ultimate kind of greasy fest, like in the best possible way.
Yes.
Just so rich and satisfying. And we ate well, you know, a crudo and we had a corn gnocchi and we had a big steak. And then, you know, it was getting to be time for dessert. And I looked at you and I went, do you want another Butterburger?
Yes. The answer.
Yes, you did. So we ordered two more Butterburgers.
The ladies at the table declined. Thank you very much.
Actually, I think Felice Sloan had a half.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, because okay, she missed out on the first round of them.
Monica and I were well-behaved. Yeah.
Well,
we were
as well-behaved as the two of you ever are in public. Mary, let me just throw it to you. I mean, what do you want to say about Riel as we sort of prepare to say farewell at the end of the month?
Oh, I'm like, my heart sinks a little bit because this restaurant was not very far from my previous restaurants, Avondale and L'Olivier. So, you know, he was tucked away. He was on Fairview. Everyone can still go dine there till the end of the month. So you should go, shout out. But I just think he created a really beautiful neighborhood spot and it was a gem. And every time I went there, I had a really good time. And I looked around the room, whether you know him or whether you don't, that is a restaurant you go to have a good time. And I think now more than ever, if you're going to go out and you're going to spend your hard earned dollars, like you should be going to a place that has great food, but you're having a good time and a good experience. People want experiences. And this place always provided that. The food was solid. You made fun of me the other day. It's fine. I can take it. But I'm like, the cheese curds. You're like, Mary, there were collard greens under there in the sauce. And I'm like, I know, but I just, the collard greens sit on top. And I love that dish. So many of his influences from his childhood and his background. But what a great restaurant. What a great kitchen. What a great front house that is one big family. And so I am sad to see it close, but I am glad he announced early enough where everybody can still go and celebrate and have multiple meals there.
Right. And I do think, you know, calling it the cheese curd dish when on the menu it's the collard green dish is why I sort of poke fun at you. But it does show that the restaurant has some diversity, right? We could have the really meaty, greasy butter burger. We could have the big ribeye that was expertly medium rare, but you could also have cool vegetarian dishes. We had the mushroom empanada. We had the collard greens that are like subtly spicy, which is not a flavor that I associate with collard greens. Like this is, you know, the kind of cool Southern food that Ryan has evolved from his time at places like Reef and Underbelly, with that like North, you know, Canadian Midwestern, fried cheese curds, right? A really smart kind of matching of flavors. And you can still get a really nice raw oyster. You can still get a really delicate crudo. And that's what I've always loved about Riel, right? Is it really is, you know, high, low, choose your own adventure. You want to be a pescatarian, they got you. You want to be a meatosaurus, they've got you. I've already kind of gotten waxed emotional and said things about Riel. So I'm not going to dwell on it, but going back for dinner with six, you know, a party of six and being able to order from a wide swath of the menu just reminded me of all the things I really love and will miss about that restaurant.
A casual 30 ounce ribeye for a party of six.
Yeah.
That my dog is still maybe eating. Oh no, not, nope. That's a different bone that he's enjoying right now. Right. But this restaurant, the steak program that they are offering through the end of the month, it really is an invitation to get a group together, go dine there, have some fun. This was a fun restaurant and you and I and a whole bunch of our friends have had a lot of good times here.
Absolutely. All right, Michael, any last thoughts about Riel?
I want a Butterburger really bad.
Sure. Well said.
I'd like to buy a vowel. And that vowel is a Butterburger.
All right, that does it for the restaurants of the week. Mary and Michael, thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
That's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Join me on Thursday when my guest will be Luis Robledo Richards of Maya Wheel.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here,
right now. CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.